So it truly is that every pitch, every out, every time that you get the ball in your hand, it's your time to get your job done and have confidence that you know what you need to do in order to be successful.
Hey, I'm Ashley Eagle. Some of you might know me as Ashley Burkhart, and I'm a former D1 and professional softball player who spent a few years coaching in the college game before deciding to put all of my focus into youth softball players and helping them make their dreams and their goals happen for them. It's our job to help them unleash their potential and become the athletes they've always dreamt of. I come from a small city in the Midwest and didn't let that stop me from making my goal of playing D1 softball a reality. No matter where you live, you have the tools to help you thrive, and I am hoping through this podcast to help you get there. On this podcast, you'll learn from Olympians, Hall of Fame coaches, and elite players what their journeys have been like, and you'll also learn from me and my family a bit of our journey through the game. I'm so excited to have you here, so whip out your notebook and let's learn how we can grow in this game together. Welcome to When the Cleats Come Off. Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of When the Cleats Come Off. I'm so excited to give you my best friend on the podcast today. Her name is Lily Fecho, and she's not only my best friend, she was also the maid of honor in my wedding, and she happened to break multiple pitching records while she was at Purdue University. Get to know her a little bit. She set the game record with 19 strikeouts against Florida Gulf Coast when we were teammates. She also broke the season record for strikeouts with 295 in 2015. She broke the career strikeout record the next year, ending with 817 strikeouts in total. And not only that, she has this big plaque inside the field house at Purdue University because she was named an Academic All-American in 2016. And she's going to be talking about a few things. How she and I shared this little alter ego on the field and off the field a little bit. Growing up in the game, what was it like pitching in Chicago, pitching to her dad, and growing in the game? Ironically, her travel ball team, the Illinois Chill, was a little bit of a rival with my team, the Indiana Magic Gold. She also talks about body language and how she practiced working on it to give her that dominant presence on the mound, the self-talk she used on the mound as well, the importance of a strong pitcher and catcher relationship, and how you can take those same strategies into growing your relationship with everybody on your team. And learn a little bit about our goofy friendship and how it helped both of us thrive on the field. And now we help each other off the field, which is some of the most precious time I get, is being able to still have a best friend that I played with in college. At the very end, there are my VHA members who we were talking to. They asked great questions like, what was it like adjusting from travel ball to college ball? I loved her answer on that one. And a pitcher asked the question, when you aren't feeling confident, how do you make sure you still act like it? And of course, she gives another phenomenal answer there. I'm so excited to bring you my best friend, Lily Fecho, to the show today. So let's give her a warm welcome. Guys, I'm stoked. Lily is my bestest friend in the whole world. She's the maid of honor of my wedding. Not only was she that, she was my teammate for 3 years at Purdue. She was a year younger than me. So I graduated in 2015 and Lily graduated in 16. Mm-hmm. She's an all Big Ten pitcher. And when we played, everybody was scared of her. Let me tell you, they were prepping their machines on the rise ball all week just to prepare for Lily's rise. And I know this is a hitting academy and we're talking to a pitcher today, but I thought it would be kind of fun to also get her perspective on how pitchers are setting themselves up for you and talk about somebody who has to be super competitive. I think if you play this sport in general, you have to be competitive, but to have that edge as a pitcher is something we can all learn from too. So Lily, can you just start with sharing a little bit about your journey growing up? Like, you know, when did you decide you wanted to be a pitcher? How did that look for you and your dad and training?
Definitely. Yeah. So I would say obviously, like growing up, played a lot of different sports. So I feel like that was a really big thing just in terms of the competitiveness and wanting to do it all and be really good and all that at a lot of different things. And when I was, I think it was like middle school time frame was when I had more so decided, I guess a little bit before that, that I really wanted to focus in on softball, still playing other sports, but really focus in on that and wanted to get better at pitching, which obviously I'm on a camera right now, but in person, I'm over 6 feet tall. And so whenever people look at me, they're like, you have to be a pitcher, you know? So that was one of the big things that just kind of mechanically, it made sense to go down that path. And then I realized that I am hyper competitive, really love, you know, being the start of every play, getting up there and facing the batter and kind of being able to, like, if you're doing your job correctly, you know, control the game a little bit. And so I'd say it was from a pretty young age that just in general have always been competitive. Family is very competitive. My dad played baseball and he was also a pitcher. So he and I really talked to the game a lot, taught for me growing up, and really talked not only about mechanics and how to physically pitch, but also the mental game of it that it we all know. And I know Ash, I was about to say Burke, but Ash is really big on the mental game, but that's also huge for pitching. So he and I got really close talking about just the mentality and the competitive fire that you need to be able to get in there and face somebody. And it doesn't always turn out how you want it to. And you have to be able to bounce back immediately and throw the next pitch. So yeah, I feel like that it all just kind of started from the beginning from a young age and morphed its way as I got a little bit older, learned that I was pretty good at this. And that always makes it a little bit more fun when you're able to find success and just continue to strive to making yourself better.
Yeah. So just for context, you guys, Lily's presence on the mound and her body language could tell you a lot about how she was able to make a lot of hitters nervous. Like, raise your hand. Can you see everyone, Lil?
Yes. Yes.
Raise your hand, you guys, if you have ever been nervous to face a pitcher based on like their body language, like the way they look at you, the way they walk, the way their presence, their routine, all of that. Okay. So Lily was like the epitome of this. And I'm not just saying that because she's my friend. I'm dead serious. Like, when she came in and I was a sophomore, a lot of our preseason was trying to, like, we hit off of our pitchers a lot. And she was the one where you're just like, I don't want to hit off of her. Like, at first you're just like, I'm nervous because she has all these dominant pitches. She looks like she's going to eat my face off. And it's like that whole dominant presence is like exactly what I think every pitcher and every player in general needs to have if you want to be great. So to have that presence, and I know you said your dad like helped you with that, but like from even just like a body language standpoint, like, were you practicing this early on, or how did you learn how to like hide? You know, if you had fear, I would have never known it, but I know everybody has fear at some point in time. But like, how were you able to work on that, you know, growing up?
Yeah, I feel like the body language really ties into confidence and showing it outwardly, but also confidence in yourself and your stuff, and knowing that even if you aren't having like the absolute best day, you still have confidence that like, I'm here, I'm able to get the job done. I've been in this situation at some point also in my life. You know, there's always a time where it's like you have a runner on first base and they're the winning run, and or third base, even like more high stress that like they're the winning run. And so you have to be prepared for that. But I think too, just an interesting thing of obviously this is a hitting camp or, you know, conversation, but on the flip side, I'm sure Ash has been talking about, you know, when you step into the box that like your job, your goals, what you need to do to be successful. And it's pretty much the exact opposite on the pitching side, that when you step onto the mound, that I came in with a mentality of this is my plate, this is my zone to control. And this hitter isn't going to beat me. And if they manage to get a hit, it's going to be an out. And if they manage to actually get, you know, on base, I have confidence in my defense that we're able to make the plays, get the outs that we need, but I'm going to step right back up there and make the next pitch work so that I'm going to put my team in the best position to win. So it truly is that every pitch, every out, every time that you get the ball in your hand, it's your time to get your job done and have confidence that you know what you need to do in order to be successful. And having that mentality is what shines through of the body language that you're talking about and kind of the intimidation factor, which I should add as well. There's other things that you can do too, to kind of have that intimidation, which like you have the stare down that, you know, you're talking about. But, one of the things that Ash and I did was that she did my eye black for me for every game, which is just another fun thing that it kind of is like you put on your game face, truly. And that was a fun one for me as well to kind of bring that level up a little bit more.
I didn't even think about mentioning that, but that's so true. Like we both wore eye black the same.
Yes.
And I don't know if like you felt the same way, like when you put it on, or when I guess I put it on you, it kind of felt like I was putting on like an alter ego. A little bit.
Yeah, it's game time. We're ready.
Like yeah. A tiger type of mentality. And like, it's funny because if people were to say like, yeah, I played against Lily, I played against Ashley, like they're very intimidating people and they don't know us outside of the game.
Yeah.
They would think that we're just like jerks, right? Mm-hmm. But then like, if you would see, you guys get to see the two of us in a room, like we are the funny, I don't want to say the funniest people ever, but we are just funny. Like joking off like, having fun, like just happy-go-lucky people, but nobody mm-hmm. would know that, you know, in the middle of a game.
Yeah. Like, and I feel like that's the big thing too, of like, when you are on the field, you want to have that game face and that ready to play mentality, competitiveness. But when the game's done, you can be like nice person, right? You know, like that's the other thing too, of like separating that of, okay, I'm here to play. It's time to shine. It's time to compete. And then game's done. And now I'm not going to be upset and angry and like, you know, again, be, well, you know, of course you got to feel the competitiveness and all of that. But then it's like, okay, now we move on to the next piece of life. And you have to be able to like still be a decent human being as well.
Right. But yeah. Our parents raised us very well. And I will say every girl in this academy, I've gotten to know them and their families have been like, you guys are all doing a great job with that part.
Love to hear that. Good job.
You're great human beings here. But I want to kind of give the floor a little bit to pitchers, because raise your hand, pitchers that are in this conversation. Okay. Woo. Raise your hand, catchers. Where are my catchers at? Because there's a couple of them too. So not to exclude anybody else, I was neither of them either. Okay. So we're all on the same boat there, but I think we would be doing a disservice to this conversation if we didn't talk a little bit about some of those like specifics. Let's start with relationship pitcher to catcher. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how important is that? And how is that something that you worked on building? Cause you've pitched to multiple catchers in your career.
Yep.
When you could think about like your favorite catchers you've thrown to, like what are the things that they're doing and what are the things that you did to help develop that strong relationship?
Yeah. Well, I guess for the first question, it's a very important relationship. And I think the biggest piece of it is trust, because you're flinging a ball at this person, at the catcher, as hard as you can and trying to make it move all over the place. And so I think, you know, recognizing that they are your other half and are there to be the other half of the team to make your pitches like look the best, of course, but also are, you know, talking with the umpire, having that repertoire, like rapport, building that, framing your pitches, kind of getting beat up a little bit back there, that they're there to, you know, help continue to control the game. And so I think in the best catchers that I played with typically were like strong voices and were, I don't want to say like energetic, because I don't know that that's necessarily the right term for it, but just knew how to manage the pitcher first off. Like if you start to get flustered, if you throw three balls in the dirt or way over their head, that they know how to manage your emotions, but also to, they're the eyes that see everybody on the field. So not only are they the other half of the pitching duo, but they're also the ones that can see everybody on the field and are aware of all of that. So I think having just a strong voice and maybe leadership, I guess, is a better word than like the energy. But I think that's the biggest thing. And then just kind of like building that trust and rapport with them through continuing practice. Like don't always pitch to the same catcher every day. Make sure that you're rotating in, because you never know what the situation is going to be. Somebody gets hurt, somebody's having an off day, whatever. That you want to make sure you're comfortable to let that rise ball go. And if it's one that's meant to be out of the zone, that it's out of the zone and your catcher is going to be there for you. So I'd say that those are probably like the biggest things. There's obviously a lot more that goes into it, but really just like that trust and that voice of reason for you.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you did a phenomenal job was too, is you were very communicative on the mound. Like when you did something great, you were like, yes, Fletch, like way to go, way to get that. But you also did that to your full defense. And I think that is one way, and pitchers take notes here. Like this is where you can start developing trust with your defense in entirety, like not just the catcher. Because when my pitcher, roots for me for diving for that ball in foul territory, first base, I'm like, I got her back, you know? And then she knows that I have her back. I know that she's got mine. And like, it's that unity. Sorry, these lights are really bothering me. It's that unity on the field that allows the team to make plays that like some teams aren't making, you know? And it does kind of start with the pitcher, because you, like you said, you like pitching because you have control. Raise your hand, pitchers, if you like pitching because you have control, like full control of the game. I know that come from Presley before. She's like, I love the ball in my hand. I love that. Like that's the competitiveness. And that's what I think you have to have as a pitcher. But when you have that control, you also have to control the tempo and communicating with everybody to your left and your right, which was easy for me because I was on your, I guess, technical left.
Yes.
Baseman. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to share, like, obviously we were very close. But I kind of felt like I was like a little bit of your wingman over there, which was a role that I really loved to play. And I can't just say you were the only pitcher that I liked playing behind, but I loved playing behind you because one, like when I made a great play, you made sure I knew it. But two, I just felt like because of our friendship outside of the field, I knew when you were starting to get a little bit rattled, and you also knew when I was starting to get a little bit rattled.
Yes.
So like, are there any moments from like our college career where you're like, I know I was getting rattled and this is what Berkey did. That was my nickname, you guys. Did to kind of like get me a little looser.
Yes. And so, I mean, yeah, that's like all part of the game. Obviously you come in and you're talking about all these like great things that we've done together, not to say that there weren't some lows of this, which, which also is part of the game, of course. But, I feel like it's literally every time that we played at Northwestern was just always such a struggle. So I distinctly remember this because basically anything that's hit in the air is out of the park. Like the fences were short. It's a wind zone there. It was wonderful for our hitters, not so great for a pitcher. And I was like, yeah, I got an out. It's a pop fly to right field. And it's like, boom, it's out of the park. And you're like, how did that happen? You know, just what's going on here? And I still remember Burke walking over to me and she just like, kind of, you did like a little like waddle thing. You like did something funny as you were walking up and you just go, hi. So did you hear, you like just told some joke, but you were just like being goofy and just trying to like make light of it, because she could tell I was pissed that I was like, that is an out anywhere else you play. Like, why is this a home run? And so just like keeping it light, keeping it goofy, you know, this is a game and it's meant to be fun. Although there's a lot of times that it's not as fun, or, you know, like, after you just give up a home run, it's not super fun. And so, yeah, I feel like that's just kind of joking, keeping it light, but still like just reading the room of you kind of knew what I needed at that time. And then you kind of refocus and you're like, okay, next batter, that's done. Can't change it. And got to wipe it clean. And now onto this next batter. So, yeah.
I think my favorite thing to do with you was like when I could tell you were either like mad about a call or like whatever happened in the game, I'd be like, all right, what's going to make Lily laugh right now? Like sometimes I would draw something in the sand. I would go up to you and I'd just be like, hey, your shoe's untied, like left shoe untied or something. Like just that my goal was to distract you. My goal was to like have you forget about the fact that, yes, something not great just happened, but also it's a game. And like, and to be honest, like, I think you guys are listening to two of the most competitive people you'll ever meet. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are competitive, but we also have to keep reminding ourselves that it is a game and like things are not going to go our way all the time. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, if we have a good head on our shoulders and we can believe we can do the next play, just like, and move on. That's the key, you guys. And it's like the people, the hitters, the defenders that can make adjustments the fastest are the ones who win the most.
Totally.
Statistically. And
that's something that it's a skill that you can continue to leverage later on in your life, of that resiliency to like bounce back and dig deep and know how to make adjustments on the fly and just roll with the punches, because you might not be able to change the situation, but you can change like the next step and how you react to it and how you move forward.
You guys, now that I'm thinking about it, because we have like 8 minutes left, if you guys have specific questions that you want to ask Lily or I or both of us together, you can write it in the chat box. And if you want to ask it in person, like if you want to unmute yourself and ask in person, just like put like a star next to it, you know, like the little star, and then I'll let you ask the question if you want. Or you can just like raise your hand. Because I think if you raise your hand for a certain amount of time, it like shows up on the Zoom ready. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
I know. And then I can lower it. Oh my gosh. Dude, Arnie is ripping things around the space right now. This is one of Lily's best friends.
Yes. He's my bestie. Actually Burke. I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding.
But before I open up the floor to you guys, I wanted to just like bring up the fact that softball is only a tiny part of our lives. Okay. It's like, it's a tiny piece. And even though I'm still working in softball, I'm still doing a podcast, I'm still working with you guys, I still do in-person lessons. At the end of the day, it's my relationships and my family and my faith. Like these are things that have nothing to do with softball that mean the most to me. And you guys are playing this game and you are building friendships for life right now. Like, and I want you guys to understand that the relationships piece is the thing that every athlete that I ask that is retired, or even like maybe they're Olympians still playing, and they get the question of like, what made you love the sport? Most of the time they're going to say it's the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So at the end of the day, when this game gets really serious and really scary, and some of you guys want to go off and play in college, don't forget this piece. Okay. Yes, you have to be selfish in a way to become as great as you possibly can. If you want to be as great as you possibly can in the sport, there is that selfish element of like, I need to be great. But at the end of the day, it shouldn't come at the expense of the people that you get to compete with and against. I should say with more, because I don't think I'm best friends with anybody I competed against very often, but the people that are to your right and your left are going to matter the most. And like, Lily is that person for me. She's my person. I FaceTimed her with my son earlier today. Like, she gets me. And I guarantee you guys have a list of people that you play with that you're like, these are my people and these are my go-to people. cherish those and really take care of those relationships. Okay. Because I can't say I was best friends with everybody that I played with. Lily knows that for a fact. Like, you guys, like, think of, and maybe just take a few seconds and write down those people, like the ones that you're thinking of right now, that you're like, if they could be in my wedding one day, or if they, you know, if I could be friends with them for 100 more years, like, who are those people? And again, through softball is the key element here. But write down those people, and I'm going to challenge you guys, as your challenge of the day, to go and just like write a little text message to them and just be like, hey, I was thinking of you today. Like, how are you doing? Or, hey, good luck in your tournament that you're playing this weekend. Or, can't wait to play with you next week, or whatever it is. Go text those people that you're writing down. Can we do that today? Right after this call? I know it might be a little nerve-wracking to do it, but I'm telling you, this relationship with this woman right here is not going anywhere. It's going to be a forever thing. And I think that's the beauty of this game.
Totally. I absolutely agree with that. That's something that we chatted about a little bit earlier, that we're like, wow, it's been, I mean, like 15 years that we've known each other, which is crazy, but we spent every day together for 3 years straight and competed against each other in high school, travel ball, and then became really fast friends. And I guess we really saw each other for 4 years, because my senior year, you were still on campus. Yes. And so, yeah, it's really cool just how the game is amazing. And it's so sad that it's like a short period of time that you can truly play it, because it was our entire world for 18, 20 years of our life. And then you're like, wow, okay, I have to, you know, like join the real world. But you get to look back on all these like amazing relationships that you formed, all these awesome places you went, like still thinking about all the fun road trips and traveling in the airports, and just everybody would see Burke and I walking together in our Purdue gear and be like, oh, I didn't realize basketball or volleyball like was still in season. And we're like, no, we're softball. But everybody would always guess, see the two tallest people on the team and just be like, oh, volleyball, basketball, check. And so, yeah, those are definitely like memories to cherish. And when you get to see the people like in person after now living all over the country and not near each other, it's so nice to be able to catch up and see them all. So absolutely cherish the times that you do have together, because it's awesome. And make sure you continue to keep in touch with those that are your people that you guys just wrote down.
Another funny story that made me think of when we were at the airport is we all had to wear these travel outfits. Like, oh, no. Lily and I were so tall. Like, yes. Have to get the largest sizes, and we still wore our pants and they were like floods. Like, literally, we'd stand straight up and they would be above our ankles.
They were like this short and it was not stylish.
No, not at all. But yeah, those things are the things that we remember forever. We don't win. We don't remember every loss. We don't remember every win. Like, of course there's some wins that we'll remember. Like, that was pretty sick. And then we lost 11-1 into the next
game. Beating Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was cool. But yeah, no, those are the moments. Those are the memories that really mean the most. Okay. So do you guys have any specific questions for Lily? If not, you guys can always ask me questions and I can forward them to her after this call if you guys don't want them to get answered. But if anybody has questions, now is your time. Oh, Malia's our catcher. What was it like adjusting from travel ball to college ball?
I'm assuming that's for me, not for you.
No.
Oh, okay.
what was it like transitioning from travel to college for you?
I would say it was, I would say the biggest adjustment for me as a pitcher was that when you are playing travel ball and, like, you know, trying to play at the highest levels and getting as much exposure to like the best players that you can, even then, on travel ball, usually it was like 4 or 5 players that were like really, really good, you know, that you'd face, right? And in college, it was pretty much like the entire lineup was a challenge. You know, there was no, like, I don't want to say easy out, because that's really not the best way to phrase it, but just like everybody has been preparing the same amount, going through the same, like, workout, same preparations. And so from 1 to 9, you are in for a challenge, and have to step up and beat this person. And so I'd say from that perspective, that was probably the biggest change for me, of just like needing to be on all the time versus like maybe being able to get away with a couple pitches or things like that, where like your misses are going to be hit hard.
Yeah, that's so true. I think that goes on both sides. Like,
yes,
when you move, it's like everybody's good and everybody like, and I will say, obviously the workouts and like managing school, all of that.
So. Oh yeah. I'm sorry. I'm being strictly at that gameplay, part. But yeah.
That was probably my challenge.
But yeah. The time element and like that was a big change, because you're also on your own for the first time. Like, you don't have mom or dad dropping you off at practice. And so it's like, you got to make it to practice on time. You got to make it to class on time. You have to make it to study hours and like make sure you're eating, you know, just like a really basic thing. Like, make sure you eat, make sure you shower, make sure you're like doing the normal human things on top of this. So that's definitely a big adjustment. But like, so worth it. So not to freak you out, but yeah.
Lily was a pro at managing her schedule. I was like so lackadaisical with my schedule and totally was a procrastinator in a lot of things. Lily literally would put something in the crock pot before practice. And after practice for me, I'd be like, I don't know what I'm eating. I have no idea. But Lily's like, no, I put that in at noon. Like, I put it in my...
Honestly, I'm still like that. Food is by far the most important thing for me. And just making sure that I have something for dinner is super important.
You had quality things for dinner.
Correct. Yes.
Amazing. Okay. I'm going to ask Presley's question. If anybody else wants to stay on afterwards, we can probably stay for a couple more minutes. But Presley is a pitcher.
Okay.
When you aren't feeling confident, how do you make sure you still act like it? Do you ever fake it?
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those things where, like to a similar vibe of like the look good, feel good of just, you know, putting on the game face, that, looking the part, that if you're not feeling confident, but are acting like you are, then pretty soon you will be. And there's like certain tactics that I would use to like reset or try to like forget about the last thing that might not have made you as confident. Like, for example, if a home run was just hit off of you, that doesn't make you feel super confident. But if you're able to have a conversation with a teammate, you know, I would brush off the pitching mound with my glove, get all the dirt off of it. And then it was like, okay, clean slate. If that still didn't work, I would like take a second and look at the flag, usually in the outfield, and just like take a couple deep breaths. And you just kind of like recenter. And then it's okay, now I got to go perform again. And I think also some of the pieces of like, when you aren't feeling confident, you can start to overthink and be like, I really need to make this hit this spot now, or I really need to do this. And like, you even just explaining it, I'm already tensing up. And so the biggest thing with that is just to like, it's easy to say, harder to do, but just to relax and like trust your stuff, that again, you've practiced this, you've been in this position at some point before. And so just really just going out and like playing your game, and then you'll get some successes or be like, wow, that was such a great pitch. Okay, I got this, you know, and like really just build yourself back up.
And then you start looking for like little wins.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
You guys, yeah. Like, it's so funny how her approach is so similar to the things we talk about in like together about like taking something physical, like her physical action was wiping the plate with her glove or the mound with her glove. And like, you guys, we've all worked on our routines. Like, literally in January, we're working on routines and how we can like physically erase the thing that just happened. Do you pick up dirt? Do you throw it? Like, these are things that I know sound funny sometimes, but the elite do. And that's how she was able to reset. And Presley, I'm so glad you asked that question, because she answered it really well.
Hey, great question. I love it.
Such a good question. Okay. We're a little bit over time, but Can we all just say thank you really fast to Lily for hanging out with us today? She nailed every question. I know I put her on the spot. Literally, it was 2 hours ago. She figured out she was doing this call. Very grateful that she could hang out with us. This has been super insightful. Again, if you guys have any other questions for her, just shoot me a text and I can ask her.
I'm so happy to have spent some time with you guys. So thank you for having me and good luck in all the upcoming seasons.
Woo!
As you probably figured out, this was a conversation that we had with my Virtual Hitting Academy members in February. And every month I try to give my athletes perspective from teammates that I previously had, in this case Lily, to All-Americans from other teams, to Women's College World Series National Players of the Year. I have great connections and I like to use them and bring them in to talk to my Virtual Hitting Academy members. So all it takes to be a member is to go to ashleybtraining.com, click on VHA, and see how you can join us on the inside. Not only do you get to meet phenomenal people like Lily, but you will also be able to do weekly workshops with us. And we do mental game skills. We hit together a lot of season. Right now we're recording in the summer. We're doing a lot of stretching, recovery, nutrition talks, because how we recover is how we're going to end up playing. So we dive into all of the aspects to help you become a holistic player and become the best player that you can. So it's not too late to join. You can join at any time and head to ashleybtraining.com to see if this is something you want to get your daughter into. All right. Thank you so, so much for tuning into another episode of When the Cleats Come Off. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, that's one of the best ways to support us. And also share this episode with a friend if you thought of them. Share it maybe with your bestie on the team that you want to have forever. Thank you once again, and don't forget to stay awkward, stay humble, and keep smiling, and I'll see you next week.